Very privileged this morning to have the Barber family here sharing with us before they go back to Belize. And so I believe most of us know, if you were here at Sunday school, they had some really great things. We had a great question and answer time, a lot of fun we had this morning. So Sam and Becky, if you guys want to come forward, I believe we've got two more mics for you, so you guys don't have to fight this time.
That's okay. We usually don't fight at this time. We tag team. Before we get started, we want to show a PowerPoint first, but before we do that, while Robert is getting that set up, I want to introduce our children. I'll start at the youngest and go to the oldest this time. And our youngest is Cassie. She's 8 years old. Stand up, Cassie, so they can see you instead of just your hand. Next is Christy, who's wearing her camp t-shirt. She's 11. And Katie is 15. She's going to be a sophomore this year. And Robert, our oldest, is 18 and is a senior. At this point, Robert, I'm going to hand you the mic that I have so you can hold it up to the little speakers for the PowerPoint, okay?
You say anything else? Or I can hand it
to you. No, hand him that and then I'll speak when it's done. Oh, the PowerPoint is basically, it's not what you saw at Sunday school. This is one, if you were at yearly meeting, you saw it. It's called A New Normal, Changes That We've Had in Our Life, and it comes with a lot of Caribbean music, so you should like it.
Yeah.
Sure.
He's a miracle working God. He's a
That is our website. We talked about that the last time we were here, www.belizebarbers.org. But if you want lots of pictures, go to Belize Barbers on Facebook groups. Ask to join. We'll let you join. There are lots. It's a closed group. There are lots and lots of pictures. We're always having the kids upload more. Robert, be sure to go to 17. And It's just great. We have pictures from all through the year. If we did all those pictures in a presentation, that's all we would do. There are just so many. Before we start talking anymore, I'd like to open with prayer this time. So if you'll bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we're in a country where we can worship you, Lord, openly. Lord, we just ask that you will be here with us in this time, that what is said and done will be glorifying to you, Lord, and that people will see you and not me or Becky or anyone else. And we just thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk about some changes we made. There were some changes we made this year at school.
Excuse me.
Not because we had to. Well, actually, not because we wanted to, but because we had to. We got there and we saw some things that needed to happen. First thing we did is we added a two-year program because partway through the school year, we found that half of our kids could not read. And they were supposed to be getting ready for high school at that point. And we just felt there's no way that we can do justice by getting them to read in 1 year at the level they need to be reading at. The second thing is we accepted girls, which was new. It had been tried once before, and there were problems 7 years ago. So we had talked to Mike and Kay Kane, who we replaced, and Miss Young, who's the lady in the middle, who's the teacher there and has been teaching there for over 8 years now. And she told us the problems they'd had. And so we decided to go ahead and give it a try and that we would just be on top of things. And we did, and there was no problem. And these two girls are sisters, actually. Mauricia is the smaller one, and the larger one is Marley. But what I want to talk about is the young man with the dark tie on. His name is David Fuller. But first I want to read a scripture from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. And you'll excuse me if I hold it back, my bifocals haven't come in yet. Okay, I'll take my glasses off. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Now, I've spent a lot of time this summer talking about David. But I never thought about it completely until I was thinking on the way up here. God, if we hadn't done what God had called us to do, David would not have had happen to him what will happen as I talk to you about it. Only because of God putting people in the right places and working within us were we able to do what happened. David came to us. He was one of these kids in class that always held his head down and did not want to be called on, and you knew it when you look in a classroom. You can tell what kids don't want to be called on. He was one of those. He was one of these kids that unfortunately was orphaned, not because his parents just left, but because they had died. And he was living with an aunt. And his aunt didn't care if he went to school or not. He was 14. He didn't have to go to school. The age of compulsory education is to 14. After that, you don't have to go. So she didn't care if he went or not. But he had a grandmother. And his grandmother loved him a lot and wanted the best for him. And she made sure he got to school. She came by his daughter's house and made sure he got there at first. David didn't want to be at school. He didn't know what he wanted to do, but he didn't want to be at school. He was just wound up and tight and just ready to explode. Well, partway through the year, about a week or so, we found out he couldn't read. And I told him it was okay that you can't read. We're going to work on that this year. And part of our motto, besides bridging the gap, is meeting the needs, meeting them where they are. And that's what we did. And after that, I found out we found another and another, and finally half the class we found was functionally illiterate. So we started at the very beginning, and what they knew, we went fast. And then we would slow down where they had problems. And in David's case, as he gradually learned how to read, his grades in all of his other subjects got better. He could read, he could do his reading, he could do his math. He could already do the facts. He knew his times tables and addition facts, subtraction facts, but he couldn't do story problems. He couldn't do science because he couldn't read the text. He couldn't do his social studies, which is Belizean history, because he couldn't read it. He knew the facts. He knew what the national symbols were, but he couldn't apply anything. Well, as he gradually was able to read, he was gradually able to comprehend these things that he was supposed to learn. And by the end of the year, he could read. And his countenance on his face had changed. He went very solemn all the time to just a happy, happy young man like you see there. And David is one of these success stories that we had this year. And it wasn't anything that Becky and I did. It was God. And the reason I say that is because he put us there in that place. We had lost a teacher this year at the last minute that was teaching half the subjects. And Becky and I filled that gap. We ended up teaching, I teach reading every day because that's what my endorsement was. And then I also teach in the first hour of the day Bible or character training the other morning. And then Becky teaches English. And we feel if that hadn't have happened, we wouldn't have filled those roles to teach that. And David has become a very happy, very enthusiastic young man. And he will be back next year with us for a second year. And I don't know what to say about him, but he's just wonderful now. He's just changed so much. We expect great things from him. And at this point, I'm going to turn it over to Becky because she wants to talk about the other young man in that picture.
The other young man in that picture is his name is Danelle. And while I'm telling you the story, I want you to think of about the passage in 1 Corinthians. It's chapter 12, starting at verse 12 to 27. I'll tell you what it's about, and you'll remember. It's about the body of Christ and how it has many members, and each one is important. Danelle came to us, and we decided that he would probably be, when we needed to make that decision, partway through the year, we made the decision that we needed a one-year class and a two-year class. We decided that Danelle would probably be able to be ready for high school in 1 year. He was reading, which some of the others weren't, so he wouldn't be going into that two-year class. And Candy told us early on, as our culture coach, she said, don't be surprised if the students don't really want to tell you about their personal lives, because you're an authority. And being an authority, you aren't really concerned about them personally. And they already have that mindset. And I decided early on in the school year that wouldn't do for me. We didn't come all that way to not be concerned about them personally. So I started off each day making some kind of contact with each of the students, sometimes hugging, sometimes just patting them on the back, and always asking them, how was their day, how was their evening, how was their weekend, how are you feeling even, to let them know that I really was concerned about them personally. And Danelle was one of the first students that really opened up to me, partly because he's not as hard as some of the other boys are, but partly because he had some really serious issues over the course of this year. Probably September, late September, I asked him one day, how are you, Danelle? And it was after a weekend, it was a Monday morning. And he says, not very good. I said, why? And he said, well, because my dad left, and he doesn't want my mom anymore. My dad left again, and he doesn't want my mom anymore. Well, I understand then, but the again means it's happened before. And he also said, and I think it's for good this time. And when he said he doesn't want my mom anymore, I could tell by the way his countenance was that he took that personally it wasn't just his mom. He felt that his dad didn't want him anymore either. So we talked about that for a while, and as the days went on and into the, you know, weeks, you could tell that he was kind of just, he just brushed that off. That was normal. That's life in the Caribbean. So the other thing about Donnell's family is that he has a very caring, present mom. His dad is in and out, and now out. And his mom's dad lives in the home with Donnell and his siblings. And so he does have a constant male figure in his grandfather. We have a major test that our students have to pass. It's called the PSE, which is Primary School Examination. The government of Belize gives them one opportunity to take that test. It is as weighty for high school as ACT or SAT is for college. So they get one chance to take basically an entrance exam into high school. And if they get a bad score on that, then they're pretty much done, and they have to figure out now what, you know, at 14, sometimes younger. They have to figure out what they're going to do now. Sometimes they don't have an actual starting date, so they shove their kids out sometimes at 3 or 4 years old, and they start school. And so some of the kids are done, ready to go to high school at 10. Well, you don't even have all the abstract thinking in place yet then. So this PSE is pretty extensive, weighty test. It's in two sections, one the third week in March and one the first week in May. If they come to the Friends School, the Ministry of Education has given them the opportunity to take it a second time. So Donnell is here at the Friends School this year to take his PSE the second time. He did poorly the first time, so now he's coming for a second time. We're coming into March, and we're brushing up on all those skills that they're going to take on that first set of PSE, getting close to Easter and things going on. And Donnell comes one day, and comes to school one day, and like Sam said earlier, the kids are usually there waiting for us when we come to school at the beginning of the day. And I could tell that Donnell was not in a good mood. There was something really wrong with Donnell from across the street even before we got to the school. And I came up to Donnell and I said, "How are you? I said, "Donnell, what's wrong?" And he just kind of shook his head. I said, "Donnell, how are you?" And he says, "Bad." And before he could even say anything, he was beginning to cry. And that's not a good thing for a teenage boy to cry, especially not in Belize. And so I took him upstairs. The upstairs is where our offices are. And I took him into the office and I said, "Donnell, what's wrong?" And he said, "My grandfather's in the hospital. They think he had a stroke. And he's not responding." And I put my arms around him. I began to hug on him and pray with him. And he began to sob in my shoulder. And at that moment, the body of Christ became very real to me in a different way. Because oftentimes it's easy for me to feel like an insignificant body part. But that morning with Donnell, I knew I was much more than that for him. But not only did I feel like an insignificant person to Donnell, there was another realization that God brought to me at that moment. Because it's very normal for me, although I try and make contact with all the students each morning, it's very usual, normal for me to go into the office, turn on the computer, sit down at the computer, check the emails, see if there's correspondence that I need to do. But I felt a real assurance of people's prayers that day as I was holding Donnell, knowing that in a country where there are no friends meetings, there are no real friends gatherings, there aren't Quakers to speak of in Belize aside from a few people that are there, I felt the agreement of friends while I'm holding Donnell. And I knew that it wasn't my hands, but it was the prayers of other friends it was the support from other friends that had me present for Donnell at that time, that captivated my attention for Donnell at that time. And part of the reason, the biggest part of the reason I tell you this is because it's not our story. It's not, it doesn't belong to us. It's not ours. It's the story of friends in Belize. All the fundraisers, all the things, all the prayers, these are the stories that come out of that. These are your stories. So this is just days before the first set of PSE. And I went out and I talked to Sam and I talked to Miss Candy. I said, Donnell's not really present. I said, what's the cultural norm to do? What should we do? I don't think he'll be a student today. We sent him home, and he went to the hospital to be with his family. And then just days later, he comes back and takes that first set of PSE. And I asked him how he did, and he really didn't want to tell me, and he said, I don't know. He said, some of it I knew, some of it I didn't. I said, well, we'll have to wait till June when the test results come out. So I was kept asking about his grandfather. His grandfather sometimes seemed to be getting better, sometimes didn't. And then one day, Donnell told me that they're sending his grandfather home from the hospital. I said, well, that's good, right? He's responding? No. I said, is he eating? No. Is he sitting up? And he says, well, not really. And I realized then that the medical system just kind of drops off at a certain age. And I realized what was happening. They were sending Donnell's grandfather home with whatever measures they felt needed to be given, and they were done. They were done with him at the hospital. So days went on, and I asked Donnell if his grandfather was getting better, and one day he said that his grandfather was sitting up and was talking with him, and that he was visiting in his room with him, still in his bed. And we're coming up to that 1st of May, and I thought, well, okay, his grandfather's doing better. He'll be in better spirits. But just days before that second set of exams, his grandfather passed away. And I could tell that all of these things keep tumbling back to him. He had to be at the boys' school, which they like the school once they get there, but it feels like a failure to be there. His dad has gone and left them and doesn't want them anymore, and his grandfather has died. And I realized the significance that we played in his life when his grandfather was going to be buried and have the funeral and over an hour away, and he came into school the day of the funeral just to touch base with us, to let us know that, you know, he was going to the funeral, and I told him we'd be thinking of him. But then days later, he takes that second set of tests, and I asked him how he did, and he wasn't sure. He didn't think he did very well. He said, well, we'll wait till June when we get our results back. So all of May goes by. We're done on May 30th. We have our graduation exercises. The students come back every day asking about their test results. Now, in Belize, there's only room for about 60% of the elementary kids to go on to high school. They don't have enough high schools. So that's why part of the reason why this test is so important. It's a weeding out process. Another weeding out process is the application fees. They have application fees for high school, and applications are usually due deadline. No more applications. They're usually cut off sometime in April. So we encourage our students to apply to more than one school and whatever. Application fees are anywhere from $15 to $45, $50. So that weeds out some, a lot, from the south side. And so Donnell had applied to two different high schools, and he's waiting for his exam results. Well, the exam results came into the 1st of June, and our students, most of them did okay. 50 is a passing grade. Most of the high schools are looking for a 70 and higher for their composite score. Donnell got a 48. And he was pretty devastated about that, because this was his second time. This was it for him. And I said, Donnell, just wait. Let's see what comes back from the schools, because maybe there's some that are looking more at your grades. And he's an average student. He's a good student. I said, maybe they won't look so much on your exam. Maybe there's some schools that are looking more at grades.
Well, the first school that many of our students applied to, they came back with their response. They send it to our school. And none of our students were accepted or put on a waiting list even from that first school. That was one of the schools that Donnell had applied to. So again, his father's left, his grandpa's gone, his test scores are too bad. His first application comes back and they basically say, your academics aren't good enough, you're not good enough. And I said, Donnell, wait, there's still another school. We'll be okay. You'll be all right. And I could tell Donnell was more devastated than the other students because of his PSE score. The second school that many of our students applied to, including Donnell, they accepted four of our boys, but not Donnell. And Donnell was pretty devastated. He said, I'm not good enough. Nobody wants me. So we spend the whole year trying to build this student up for him to be told that he's not good enough. And I said, Donnell, and this was just days before we left on June 9th, I said, Donnell, Mr. Barber is going to write you a recommendation letter explaining what happened just before your PSE tests. I said, there has to be a school that's still accepting applications that you can get into. Remember, most schools cut off in April, and this is June. He did go to one other high school very reluctantly. He said, I don't know why nobody wants me. And that's exactly what he said to me. Nobody will want me. And I said, yeah, you've got to keep applying. And we left that master letter with Candy so that she could try and encourage him to continue applying because we really didn't know if he'd find a high school. And so we left Belize June 9th, not knowing if Donnell was going to be a success story or not, but because I wanted you to hear his story of how we had worked with him emotionally and worked with him throughout the year. I didn't know if I was going to be telling you a good story or a bad story. But Candy called us. We called Candy a week and a half after we were here. And Donnell was accepted to a high school. And we're really excited about getting back to see him and some of our students. But Donnell, even when he applied to Canaan Seventh-day Adventist High School, they said that if his grades were good enough, they would release his transcripts and he would be able to go to a different school of his choice. But we really want to tell you these stories because you are part of the body that brings these stories and that they are your stories. The verse that I want to leave you with, well, a couple verses, but Ephesians 3:20, the first part of that verse, it's often used as a benediction, but the first part of that verse says something like, now to him who is able to do far more exceedingly abundantly above what you could ask or think. And I just want you to center on that thought of a God who can do abundantly more, a God who has control of the universe, who has fire, wind, water, the power of all those things at his disposal, creator of everything, holding the universe in his hand. And then I'm going to take you back to the Old Testament, to Isaiah chapter 43. And it says, behold, I am doing a new thing. Don't you even see it now? That's my own translation. I am bringing rivers in the desert and pathways in the wilderness. And then the end of that Ephesians verse, Ephesians 3:20, says, according to the power at work within us. The power of the universe already begun, but it's through us that those things happen. And that's a pretty powerful, energizing thing to know that God is the God that wants to
change lives according to the power that's at work within us. So that's the encouragement and the charge that I want to give you that we've been feeling in Belize. And I'll turn it back to whoever takes it from us now.